in Texas, came back with three things on my heart, and I've shared them with you in passing, but one of the three things was a desire to see the Holy Spirit move in a free-flowing way in our services and also in our lives on a day-by-day basis. Holy Spirit is, in fact, the third person of the Trinity. He is, in fact, God. God the Father sent His Son, Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for us. If it had not been for Jesus, we couldn't know the Father. He revealed the Father. God wants to be known. He wants you and I not just to know about Him. He wants you and I to know Him. And we really will make up our own God if we don't have someone to reveal the true God. And so Jesus came. And when Jesus left, he said in John 14, 15, and 16, those chapters, I'm going to send to you myself, in essence, another one just like me, myself, Holy Spirit. He's going to live in you. So it's Jesus in us. And I came back and I says, God, would you help us restore and release the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do in our services, but also in our lives on a day-by-day basis. So I felt as though I wanted to for the next couple of months, the summer months, July and August, I want us to focus on the ministry of the Holy Spirit and specifically focus on the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit, there's a list of them that's recorded in Galatians chapter 5. Would you read that with me? How many of you, I won't even ask that because sometimes our memory slips, but there are nine fruit. I've memorized them. Maybe some of you have as well, and they're found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I think the scripture is going to be up there, and I'd like to have you read this scripture with me as it comes up, okay? It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and maybe we don't have it, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Would you turn to someone and say, someone told me in the past that we need to have more fruit in our diet. I don't know if your mother, Tom, she's pointing. I could point at my wife because my wife's always saying, you need more fruit. My mother used to say, no, you got to have a balanced diet. I did a little bit of research last couple of days about the diet, and do you know that it's not really a proven fact that you need a lot of fruit? They've done comparisons with people who live in Japan and Iceland and Switzerland. They live longer lives, healthier lives, and they eat less fruit than we eat. Now, they have a better diet as far as vegetable intake and not as many starches, but so there's a lot of factors that you need to deal with in order to come up with a conclusion, but there's really no scientific proof that fruit will, in fact, add to your life, your physical life. You can live a healthy, long life without having as much fruit, and yet they'll tell you you need two or three servings a day. Now listen, that has to do with physical body, but let me tell you something. When it comes to the spiritual life, fruit of the Spirit is vital to us. Actually, it's our vital signs. When you go to a doctor and he goes like this, or he goes like this, goes like this, you can begin to feel the heart pumping. You can feel a pulse. You can tell the vital signs that you are alive physically. I want to submit to you in this series that the fruit of the Spirit are our vital signs that we are alive eternally. See, we have, according to Scripture, if we've invited Jesus into our lives, we have what we call eternal life. It's possible to be alive physically and dead spiritually. Ephesians says you were once dead in your trespasses and sins. So, but because you put your faith in Jesus, you come alive eternally. Eternal life is a quantity of life and a quality of life. We're going to live forever. When this physical body gives out, our eternal spirits, if we put our faith in Jesus, is going to live eternally with Him. There's a quantity of life. It's forever. It's always. But there's also a quality of life, and that quality of life is wrapped up in this fruit of the Spirit. And when you take your spiritual pulse, is there love? Is there joy? Where's the peace? Is there, in fact, some patience and some kindness and goodness? Where is the all of the fruit of the Spirit, the faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control? If you see those in you and they're growing, your vital signs say and indicate you are alive eternally. I'll tell you, you may not be able to have to eat fruit in your physical diet, but if you don't have fruit happening in your life, fruit of the Spirit happening, you'll need to check yourself to see if you're really alive, because they are our vital signs. Matthew says something incredible. He says, I think it's in Matthew chapter 7, he says, you can actually know a person by their fruits. You can actually look at them and watch them, and you can tell what kind of a person they are by the fruit that they have. The word know there is the word not just know about, but you can actually know the intimate inside workings of a person if you watch them long enough and watch their fruit. I read a book recently. It was called How to Read a Person Like a Book in 5 Minutes. Those types of books always interest me, intrigue me. It talks about nonverbal communication and verbal communication. And if you watch a person long enough, you listen to them, the tone of their voice, the demeanor, the way that they stand. Do they look at you in the eyes? Do they look down all the time? The different types of signals that they give to you, you can tell how confident they are. And you can begin to watch them and tell about them. Matthew says it's possible to look at someone and discern where they're really at by their fruit. Because fruit reveals what's going on inside. You've heard the saying, where there's smoke, there's fire. Well, listen, let me tell you, where you have love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, do you know what you have? You have the Holy Spirit there. The Holy Spirit is revealed. What is the spirit of your home? All of us have an atmosphere in our home, and that atmosphere is fueled by the spirit realm. The Holy Spirit is not just an influence. He is, in fact, a person, but he will create an atmosphere in your home. Listen to the contrast. If you're not there yet, turn to Galatians chapter 5 and listen to the contrast of a person who is not led by the Spirit. There's two ways to live. You can live by the Spirit or you can live by the flesh. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit and these fruit, this is what you'll have. Verse chapter 5, Galatians, verse 17. The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Now here's the contrast. If you are not being led by the Spirit, here's what you have. You'll have sexual immorality. You'll have impurity. What they call debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft. That word witchcraft comes from our word pharmaceutical. It has to do with drug use. Wherever you find drug use and alcohol use to an excess, you'll find that people are not being led by the Spirit. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Now, how many of you have been in places where some of those things are taking place? I mean, it's all around us, isn't it? Well, when you see those things happening, you know that the Spirit of the Lord is not Lord. It's possible for the Spirit of the Lord to be in a place and those things take place, but it's not possible for Him to be Lord and those things take place. I like 2 Corinthians 3:17. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there's freedom. One translation says, where the Spirit is allowed to be Lord, there is a release of life. There's a release of something. So you have here two comparisons, and you and I are called to be people who walk with the Holy Spirit in such a way that His fruit is happening. That's why, folks, one of our primary goals, and I know I contend for this regularly, is for you and I to guard the presence of the Holy Spirit. I sang an old song that I learned years ago on the way to church early this morning, and I was driving down Fargo, and it was fairly early, and I had a cup of coffee, had my window down. It was nice. I was just tootling along, and I prayed, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. It's the name of that song. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. I don't know what other churches want to talk about. I don't know what other churches want to do. But as far as Koinonia, as long as I'm here, I want to see you, Holy Spirit, released. I pray, forgive me, Lord, for grieving you at times. Have you ever grieved the Holy Spirit? Have you ever felt Him kind of convict you of something and your conscience speaks, but you violate that and you go against that? And you say, "I forgive me for grieving you, Holy Spirit." David said, don't take your presence from me. Man, if you take your presence from me, what do we have to offer? His presence is the Holy Spirit among us. And you'll know that He's there when you have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our midst. The fruit is our vital signs. Would you pause with me just for a moment and pray? Jesus, you're the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. You're the one who sent your Spirit to dwell in us. And I am praying in these days that your Holy Spirit would fill our hearts with love, fill our hearts with joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Holy Spirit, be free in this place to do all that you want to do. Give us wisdom as to how to release you and how to see you and how to know what to do. As we focus these summer months, I pray that our fall would be totally different because you are visiting us in unique ways, and I believe you've already begun that, and I'm so appreciative of sensing your presence on an ongoing basis. Holy Spirit, I welcome you to do these things, and I give you praise. Amen. If you're taking notes, I want you to write down the very first thing I'd like to have you know is that you can't produce this fruit. This is called the fruit of the Spirit. This happens not by effort and trying to make it happen. It comes as you are led by the Holy Spirit. Did you notice that as we read in Galatians? It says, if you are led by the Holy Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. When you are led by Him, and He says in the other verse, He says, now since you live in the Holy Spirit, keep in step with Him. Keep walking with Him. As you and I learn how to walk with the Holy Spirit, how to be led by Him, this fruit, which is one fruit expressed in nine different ways, this fruit of the Spirit is a byproduct. It doesn't come so much through effort, even though there is effort. It comes through expectancy. Let me give you an example. This past week, it was on, I believe it was Wednesday, I came home and my wife was just up to here with taking care of Drew. Drew, if you don't know, is our grandson, and he can be a handful at times. And I'm not complaining, but he can be a handful. And this is just one of those days where she says, if you don't take him, they're going to come and take me away. I'm going to kill this kid. She didn't say that, but I kind of saw that. And so I said, hey, why don't you get yourself a Pepsi or a Coke or something and take a walk and get out of here for an hour or do whatever you want to do. And so I took him for a while, and she came back and as I usually do, I try to help as much as I can when I'm home. So we went to bed that night, to make a long story short. She got up the next morning, and I was in the living room studying because I was doing some my journaling, and she was there, and she just had this joy in her heart. And she was just kind of, and I knew that she was going to have to spend another day with this little monster. And And I'm thinking, I says, man, you look like you're well rested. She said, well, I didn't sleep all that well. And I said, well, what do you happen? What happened? She says, I was reading in Ephesians chapter 3, and it talks about Paul saying, and she was reading from the Message, and she read it to me, and it says, Paul says, I am called to preach the gospel. This is my life. And when I read that, she said, I knew that God was, I am called in this moment of time to take care of this young man. I am called to do that. See, when you don't know that you're called to do something, they can be an interruption. Boy, they can be an intrusion. They can be something, get out of my way. I've got other things to do. But when God comes to you and says, I have called you for this very purpose. And see, what she did is she surrendered to that. And all of a sudden, patience came. And joy came. You see, she didn't try, okay, I'm going to try to be patient with this kid today. I'm going to spank him again and again and again. We're going to beat that hell out of him. And I'm going to try to be filled with joy. I mean, how many times have we tried to produce stuff like that? And it's just hard. Actually impossible. We have some fruit at home. I meant to bring them today, but we bought them at Target, and they're artificial fruit, but they look so real. Donna liked the looks of them. They're pears and lemons, and we got some limes, and we they're all fake, but we put them on the table because they're very decorative, they're bright, they're cherry, but our grandson thinks that they're real, and he tries to eat them. And I'm telling you, you can try to produce this fruit, but you can't do it. It won't happen. You may be able to make it through day. I'm going to count to 10 before I speak. 1, 2, 3, 4. And that may be a positive tool, but in the end, you can't produce patience. It's as you surrender to the Holy Spirit and what He's saying to you that all of a sudden that releases the supernatural power of God to produce in you the fruit. If you are going to have this fruit happen, you and I must partner with the Holy Spirit. Follow Him. Doesn't mean you don't have to have some effort in it, but it's more on the expectancy than it is the effort. I have to follow Him, but I'm expecting Him to do it. I want to introduce you to a family who is actually living this out. Eric and Heather, would you mind coming up? I see you over there. I was looking for you to make sure you were here. And I need that other microphone. I need two microphones. Could you bring that to me, please? This couple, Heather and Eric Ward, thanks for coming up and being willing to share your story. Come on over here in front of me. You guys have been coming to Koinonia for a lot longer than I have. How long?
Correct. I've been coming to Koinonia myself for somewhere around 27, 28 years. It's about the only church I ever remember.
That's a little while. And you guys have a few kids, about 100 kids, right? Is that right, Heather? Not that many, huh?
Four.
You have four
but
kids?
It can feel like 100 over a few days.
Now, it took me a while to remember the 9 fruit. Can you remember the 4 names?
Of our children? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Aubrielle's almost 9, Wyatt is 6, Cheyenne is 4, and Kendra is 2.
So. And you got not only names, you got the dates as well. You guys have been living what I've been talking about. You've been relying on the Holy Spirit. Just for the sake of people, many of you know this couple, but for the sake of the people, Eric, what are you involved in as far as an occupation goes?
I am a farmer. I'm a 6th generation farmer, California farmer. Produce stone fruit, peaches, nectarines, plums, silage corn, sweet corn. Just about everything.
Now I'm understanding that this is not a great time to be a farmer.
No, it has its complications. Water is of course has been a big issue this year. The stone fruit business has been tough the last couple of years. So yeah, we've been purged the last few years.
Yeah, and you've been really experiencing what it means to follow the Holy Spirit, what it means to depend upon Him. Let me just tell you how this happened. I'm going to let them tell you a little bit about their story. A few weeks ago, you dropped off some corn at our staff office building. How was that? 3 or 4 weeks ago? 3 or 4 weeks ago. There was about 4 or 5 pieces of corn in each one, and there was a bag, and so I was told I could take some. So I took the corn home, because we like corn. We hadn't had corn on the cob, so went home and showed it to Donna, and she said, let's do it tonight. And so we made the corn. And I'm telling you, That was the sweetest corn. Did the other staff members, whoever got it, the other staff members, it was just, it was so sweet. I said, I think that's the best corn I've ever had. I said, that's great. So a few days later, I went out to their stand. They have a stand called First Fruits, and it's located on 12th and Fargo. And this isn't a business plug, but I'm just telling you this. I have to tell that because this is the story. So I went out there, and I says, man, that corn was so good. I says, would you give me a dozen more? So I bought a dozen because I wanted to give six to my neighbor, which I did, and we had six. And man, I tell you, it was as good as before. Well, I went back out, and we started to talk, and they began to tell me kind of the struggle that they have had with this crop and what has taken place over the last several months. And so I'd like to have you just tell them what you told me regarding your crop and how, I'll just let you tell it, and I'll chime in when I want to.
I have always wanted to have a sweet corn stand and grow sweet corn for many years, and I've never had the opportunity, and this year the opportunity came up. And so starting back in September, I started working towards that that goal. And as we planted and everything was looking good, and I started seeing some of the corn had some discoloration in the leaves, and I thought, well, maybe it's a deficiency in fertilizer. And I had a person come out and take some samples for whether we needed some more nitrogen or whatnot. And he says, you know, this looks different than a fertilizer deficiency. He says, I think you should get another opinion from some of the farm advisors. Farm advisor came out and said, well, this does look like some type of a virus. Let's take some samples. We'll send it to UC Davis and see what comes of it. And it came back positive for called maize dwarf mosaic, which stunts the corn, can actually make the ears not pollinate properly, cause lots of problems. Their suggestion was to disc it up. They said, you need to disc every block up. I've planted 28 different blocks over about a 2 to 3 month period. And they said, you need to disc everything up that shows any sign of mosaic because it can be transferred through insects, but especially aphid, from one plant to the other. And so it can continue to go through all the different blocks. And it was a real setback for me because we'd spent so much time and I've always wanted to do this. And
not to mention investment too, as far
as
money goes.
There was quite a bit of investment. We'd gotten the whole corn stand ready, we'd ordered signs, we'd put just about all everything into it when we found that out. And
so then you disced it up and that's the end of the story, right?
Well, not quite.
Oh, okay.
I started to seek professional help, or tried to find from different representatives that have dealt with sweet corn, you know, do we try to keep this? Do we try to make it work? And, of course, the farm advisor, and there was another person back in the Illinois that was saying PhD, was saying, yeah, you need to disc it up. Talk to someone that has had a sweet corn stand for 23 years that had some experience, and he says, yeah, he says, it can't even affect the taste of the corn. It can come out and taste like cardboard. He says, just start disking. And we had a hard time with that. And Heather felt that the Lord said, you know, we need to just pray over the corn and ask God to do a miracle. And that's...
Now, was that just a thought you had, Heather, or was that, I mean, just, and you acted on it, or?
Well, Eric came home and gave me the news. I was making dinner or whatever. He came in discouraged, told me what was happening, and walked back out to go deal with the next thing. And all of a sudden, I don't know, it just, when you feel yourself responding to the Lord, it's kind of on every cell in your body just kind of changes. But in order to say it in words, I felt like somebody was tugging on my arms just to get me down. And it was like the Lord very urgently was saying, ask me, come on, ask me. And so I was like, oh, okay. So I stopped making dinner. I went and prayed. And like Tom had talked about, just standing in front of that mountain, we had overcome some other smaller obstacles. And I was like, wait a minute, is this it? Are we just going to stop at this mountain? And I really felt like the Lord was saying, no, ask me. And so instead of disking it under, Eric, too, wanted to have the Lord have his way with this. So we decided to pray and wait rather than disk it under. Mm.
And you continued on.
He obviously had a plan beyond just us having some corn to sell. It was.
Yeah, things have worked out. The corn has turned out wonderful. There was a representative that came out about a week before we started, and he says, I've never seen myself the mosaic so mild in a field. He says, usually when it comes in, you have to disc it under. Mm. But he says, I don't think you're going to have to. And it's the taste has been great. Things have worked. Yeah. So
it's completely the Lord who's kind of walked through. And
So in this text of Scripture, we have the flesh and the spirit. We have man's thoughts and ways of doing it. We have God's thoughts and ways of doing it. And this couple paused. I mean, if you're a farmer out there, you know better than I do that, you know, your livelihood is wrapped up in this stuff, and you lose crops, and you've lost, you know, your livelihood. But they responded to that quickening voice of the Holy Spirit and decided to obey that. And there was a risk. There's always a risk involved because there is a time to cut your losses. Hey, we've already invested. Let's cut our losses and maybe next year. But they says, no, we're going to follow this, and the Holy Spirit started. Now, the thing that interests me is that you guys asked the Holy Spirit to do this. You asked God to do this. And that's what he's saying here. See, when you hear a message on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it's not like, okay, yeah, I really need to love more. I'm going to go out and try to love more. Oh, yeah, you know, I really need to be filled with joy, so I'm going to try to be a real happy person this next week. I got to have more. I mean, how many of you don't want the fruit? I mean, all of us want the fruit. I mean, those are good stuff, but we can't produce it, and that's why we have to do it, this couple, to say, would you help us? We can't save this crop. Man's telling us we should plow it under, but we're gonna decide to follow your leading, prayer, seeking the Lord. And I think, didn't you do something? I mean, I can't, you know, I didn't remember the whole story, but didn't you do something practical that...
Yeah, Buzz and Dee prayed for us. We came up after one of the services and, you know, told them the situation, and they anointed us and prayed for the corn. And then Buzz just said, he says, you know, step of faith, you might want to go out and drive around the cornfield 7 times. And at the end of that service, we did. We went out there as a whole family and drove the Suburban around the corn field 7 times, praying. And the last time we shouted for joy, and it worked.
Is there anything more you want to add, Heather?
Just that the picture that's changed for me is usually when you find yourself on your knees before the Lord, it's usually in desperation and crying out for help. And I find myself on my knees in awe saying, okay, God, what's on your agenda now?
Yeah.
You know, it had nothing to do with our effort. It had everything to do with just responding to him and letting him show his power. He really did. So anyways.
And that's what I wanted them to convey, is that it really, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit or crop of corn, we're not talking about effort. We're talking about expectancy, that God will do what he's promised to do if we surrender our hearts to him. And so you can wake up saying, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know something good's going to happen because we're putting our confidence in you. Thank you guys very much for sharing. Would you give them a hand? Fruit of the Spirit are vital signs. If you don't have these going on, you need to check your spiritual pulse, because this is what tells you if you're alive. Are you loving more today than you did last week? Are you filled with more joy than you were a year ago? Are you experiencing more patience? Is it increasing? See, when you start to partner with the Holy Spirit, you've also got him give time, because fruit doesn't grow overnight. But it does grow as you continue to walk in the steps of the Holy Spirit. Now, the first fruit that I want to leave you with is the fruit of love, because that's the first one he talks about. Next week we'll look at the fruit called joy. But the fruit of love is extremely important. It's foundational to our lives. My wife was talking with some woman. We thought it was Val Cooper, because she's filled with so much love and she's just always doing some stuff for people. But she was talking with some woman, and the woman told her, she says, when I prayed and asked God to fill me with love, it's like he actually did it. And he says, I wanted to kiss everybody. I wanted to hug everybody. I was talking to dogs about Jesus. She says, I was just filled so much with this love. And maybe some of you have had times where you want to do everything because you have so much compassion in your heart. Love is foundational. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. If I could speak in any language in heaven or on earth but didn't love others, I'd only be making meaningless noise, like a loud gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and I knew all mysteries of the future, knew everything about everything, but didn't love others, what good would it be? And if I had the gift of faith so that I could move mountains, and we talked about that today, didn't we? If I had the faith to move mountains and make them move without love, I'd be no good to anybody. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I'd be of no value whatsoever. See, that's the importance of love. And then he goes on in 1 Corinthians 13, says this, love's patient, love's kind. Love doesn't envy, doesn't boast, it's not proud, it's not rude, doesn't seek its self-gain, is not easily angered, keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. Man, when you read that, do you think you can do that? We need Jesus. That's the only way that you and I can carry this fruit, have this fruit produced in our life. We've got to stay close to the Holy Spirit, being led by Him, calling on Him, saying, oh, help us. I can't do that. Let me, if you are taking notes, let me give you six ways that the Holy Spirit produces this fruit in us. And then I'll conclude. How does the Holy Spirit produce this fruit in us? And I'm not suggesting this is the only way, but I think it's worth considering. The first way is that He demonstrates love. That's the first thing you want to write down. Romans 5:8 says this, God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Romans 5:8, the first way that God produces this love is He demonstrates it to us. And when does He demonstrate it to us? When we don't deserve it. Before we deserve it. Listen, guys, sometimes we quit loving people because they don't deserve it. And that's when they really need the love the most. Parents, don't stop loving your kids when they're disobedient and going wrong. That's when they really need your love most. He demonstrated love while we were yet sinners. Now, here's the second thing. When He demonstrated it, what happens is we are confronted with our lovelessness. We're confronted with our lovelessness. So how does the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, He demonstrates His love towards us when we didn't deserve it. And then when He does that and we experience His love, we are become aware of our lovelessness. Do you remember Isaiah chapter 6, 5, when the glory of God comes to Isaiah? What does he say? Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. Do you remember Luke chapter 5, verse 8, when Jesus says, go out into the waters and cast your nets. And he says, man, we've been out there all night, but at your word we'll do it. And he goes out and he gets a big load of fish. And then he comes in and he says, oh man, get away, Jesus. I'm unworthy. I'm a sinner. We are become aware of our lovelessness. And the third thing that happens is we begin to get convicted. Some of us get condemned. And when we get condemned because we don't love as much as Jesus does, we begin to try to produce in our flesh the love. But He demonstrates His love and reveals our lovelessness so that we can be convicted. And in that conviction, the next thing we do is we call out to Him. See, that's what the law was for, wasn't it? The law in the Old Testament was written so that man would know that they can't fulfill the law. The law would push people to call to Jesus and say, Jesus, we can't do this. We need you. In the same way that when I see my lovelessness, and by the way, I have experienced lovelessness. How about you? Have you ever sent an email that wasn't really filled with a whole lot of love? And the moment you press that send button, you just wish that somehow you could reach in there and bring it back. But it's too late. It's gone. We've all acted out of lovelessness. And when we are aware of that, it is supposed to create conviction so that we will call out to Him. And when we call out to Him, you know what He does? This is the next thing. He begins to coach us on a day-by-day basis through our conscience. He demonstrates his love. We're confronted with our lovelessness, number two. We're convicted, and so therefore, that, number three, so therefore we call out to him, number four, and then he begins to coach us on a day-by-day basis through our conscience. Excuse me, Tim, that wasn't the right tone. Tim, you need to go back and say you're sorry for that. That was inappropriate. You know, yeah, people laugh, but it was really inappropriate. Go back and repent. He begins to coach us on a day-by-day basis. And then the sixth way that the Holy Spirit is that this pattern continues to go on and on and on. He keeps demonstrating his love when we don't deserve it. We keep becoming aware of, man, I'm so unlike you. I get convicted, not condemned, so I call out to him and say, oh God, I need your help. Please do this. And he produces the fruit of the Spirit. There is nothing like, let me tell you, there is nothing like being around a person who is filled with the fruit of God's Spirit. You talk about sweet fruit, sweet corn. Corn's not a fruit, right? It's a vegetable. Is that right? You talk about eating something sweet. I'll tell you, there's nothing like being around people who have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Last week I was reading, as hopefully all of you are, many of you are in our life journal. We are a church who's journaling every day, trying to every day read God's Word and write something down. And I was journaling this week in the New Testament, the section that I was studying in accordance with the plan that's in the front of this book was the book of Philemon. If you know anything about the New Testament, you may be like me, you like books like that. They're only one chapter long. You can feel like a sense of accomplishment. Oh, yeah, I read a couple chapters, yeah. I read a couple books today. Yeah, Philemon and Jude. And it sounds good. But as I was reading this, I wrote this down, and the scripture that caught me was the first introduction. It says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Acrippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church who meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. Now, when we journal, we have a scripture, then we have an observation, we have an application, then we have a prayer. So in my journal, I wrote down, this was my observation. Have you ever noticed that Paul the Apostle often made reference to his friends when he wrote a letter? It happens frequently in the New Testament, and this letter is no exception. This book is actually addressed to a dear friend named Philemon. Friends are a gift from the Lord, I said. Good friends are hard to find, but when you actually discover a good friend who wants to walk in close relationship with you, you've discovered a treasure. Friends are like tributaries. Not only do they carry worth, but they also deposit valuable assets into a person's life. Tributaries create great rivers. From all directions, those tributaries contribute to the river, feeding and making it grow. That sounds like the way people grow, too, I've noted, when they open up to the contributions of others. Friends can speak into our lives, and when these friends have the fruit of the Spirit, recorded in Galatians chapter 5, we become better people because of them. And I made the comment, remember, the company you keep will determine the path that you take. That was my observation. Now my application was this. What kind of friend are you to the people in your world? When they spend time with you, do they leave enriched? Do they leave encouraged? Do they leave edified? One person said, I enjoy all types of people, some when they come and others when they leave. When you carry with you the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you'll be a friend who is enjoyed all the time. Today, let's surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit and follow His directives. Galatians 5 tells us that when we do this, He'll produce the fruit that will provide the foundation for lasting relationships. Love is that foundational fruit that opens the door for relationships. And there's a lot we have to learn about fruit. Obviously, with 5 minutes left, I don't have time to teach all about love. But Paul says in Philippians 1, he says, "Oh, I would that you would abound more and more in your knowledge of how to love people." Because it's not just sloppy agape. It's the way of loving. Sometimes you have to be tough. Sometimes I have to spank that little beautiful grandchild that I have. Sometimes we have to discipline him and do things that we don't want to do, but he just makes me have to do it. He forces the issue. Love is a fruit that we must have. I came across this poem that was written. I'm not a lover of poems. And as I read this, I don't think it's one of your great poems. But it conveys my point. And I want to give you this and then conclude with reading a scripture together. It says this. It's by a guy by the name of Swan Nader. It says this. "I saw love once. I saw it clear. It had no leash and it had no fear. It gave itself without a thought. No reservation had it brought. It seemed so free to demonstrate. It seemed obsessed to orchestrate. A symphony designed to feed, compared to lift one in need. Concern for others was its goal, no matter what the toll. It's strange just how much care it stores to recognize its neighbor's sores. And it doesn't rest till the day it's helped take the sores away. Its joy retains and does not run until the blessing's job is done. I saw love once. It does not pretend. He was my coach. He was my friend." That was written to a guy named John Wooden. You probably have heard that name. One of the greatest coaches of all times, and arguably so, possibly the greatest coach of all times. My point is this. Wouldn't it be great? Can you imagine someone writing that about you? Wow. What would it be like if you fell upon a poem and it had your name on it? You and I have the privilege of being a tributary to become friends forever. And that's what we are. Friends are forever. See friends who know Jesus, and you become, you're going to live eternally together. And we have the privilege of surrendering to the Holy Spirit, not striving to make something happen, but surrendering to Him and letting this fruit called love begin to happen. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. I think I have this on the monitors for you. Would you read it with me? "Be imitators of God." Could we read it together if that's possible? Is it up there for you? Yeah, there you go. Let's do it together. 1, 2, 3, here we go. "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." What a prayer. Why don't you stand with me? And let's make that our concluding prayer today. So we're going to be eating a lot of fruit in the month of July and August, and I hope it makes you run out of here. Sometimes fruit will make you run to the bathroom, I'm told. But I hope this makes you run out of here to share your fruit. There's nothing noble about buying 12 ears of corn and giving six to my neighbors. I just try to practice that whenever I buy some, try to give something away. And that's a good thing for you to do practically every once in a while if you can afford it. But I'll tell you, when we talk about this fruit, it is to be given away. It's not just to be used here. It's to run out of here and, where can I love? Who can I love today? Maybe you go to a restaurant and pick up someone's tab. Maybe you pay for someone's coffee this next week. Let them know you love them. Let them know they're loved by someone. Jesus, we're so grateful again for you giving to us your Holy Spirit. As a lead pastor here, Lord, I want to try my best, and I really do need to have you instruct me in your ways, because I want to guard the presence of your tremendously precious Spirit that lives within us, those who know you. Holy Spirit, would you help us with the fruit that you want to produce. The only sign that I have that I'm alive eternally really is the fruit of the Spirit. They are vital signs to us. And I pray that we will be a congregation who abounds more and more in love, filled ever in an ever-increasing way with joy. Peace that passes understanding would be our normal daily experience. Patience that's willing to go not just the second mile, but the third mile. A kindness and a goodness that may look like it's humanitarian, but it really has a heavenly base. A faithfulness when people give up that we wouldn't give up, would keep going. A gentleness, Lord, of your Spirit. You're a perfect gentleman. You always want to come and in that way. And self-controlled. May this fruit expressed in these 9 different ways be increasing at Koinonia Christian Fellowship. I pray this in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask the elders and the prayer teams to come forward. If you're here today and you've never opened up to the God who is in fact love, John says God is love, I'd love to pray with you. Love to have you come down. Let us pray with you. I'll give you a Bible. I'll give you some information to start your relationship with Jesus. If you've not done that together today, please let us come and pray for you. Come on down and pray. Let us pray for you. God bless you today. Let's pray for the fruit to grow. Thank you, Jesus.